The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be the last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Love everyone.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Amen. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is traveling with his disciples when they stopped in Galilee so that Jesus can continue to prepare them for his own death. Even though this was the second time that they had heard him talk about betrayal, suffering, and dying, Scripture tells us that they still did not seem to understand, and they were afraid to ask Jesus. So rather than gain understanding about what Jesus was saying, they acted like children, and they began arguing among themselves as to who was the greatest. To further their confusion, Jesus rocks their world by dispelling their notion of greatness. Take last place, be a servant, welcome a child. This is a rich passage where we could explore a variety of themes, including the biblical intent for greatness or what is involved in biblical hospitality. This morning, I want us to look more closely at the disciples' response. Silence. I've always wondered if they knew that Jesus knew that they were arguing before he asked them the question. Were the disciples hoping to avoid a rebuke like what Peter received in the gospel passage we heard last week? Whatever the reason, Jesus moves on with his lesson. How often in our lives are we like the disciples when we hear something that we do not understand and we fail to ask questions? If you are like me, you may do this when you are at a garage standing in front of your mechanic and he says something like, "Ma'am, you have a hydraulic pressure failure in one of your circuits, and it's a good thing that your pressure differential valve warned you and you came in right away." And rather than explore exactly what is wrong or what my options might be with my car, I just want my car fixed. Or how about when you see a physician about your annoying heartburn, and the physician goes into great detail by saying, "You have an imbalance between the normal defense mechanisms of your esophagus and offensive factors such as acid and other digestive juices and enzymes that is causing your lower esophageal sphincter to not close properly." The only question you might have at that moment is, "Am I going to die?" Because you are afraid to ask anything for fear of what you might have to do or go through to get relief. Then there is a situation that perhaps all of us have experienced at some point in our life. When we have been in Sunday school or Bible study or heard something in a sermon and not understood and not wanted to ask questions because we are embarrassed. We are afraid of appearing ignorant or what people might think of us, or worse yet, trying to appear as though we have our lives all together in our relationship with God, within our families, and in our work life. Life does come at people fast these days, and sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed. Illness, emotional trauma, even an accumulation of simple discouragements can cloud our relationship with God. Pastor Paul and I, as your pastors, understand that, and we want you to know that your spiritual care is important to us. We want to be with you and pray with you and for you during these times in your life. We made a commitment of spiritual care for your well-being to be not only a compassionate presence, but also a prophetic voice. We do that weekly through worship, prayer, and faith formation as we proclaim the word and offer you the very presence of Christ in the elements of communion. And every time we are gathered here as the whole body of Christ at Augsburg and gather in this holy place, at this holy table, we share in a relationship with God that happens by grace through faith, all made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And as a community of faith, we are called to respond to God's grace in all that we do. So whether it is being a good steward of our promises, our possessions, our bodies, or our spiritual formation, particularly when we do not understand, part of our baptismal covenant is to keep learning and growing, and oftentimes it means being willing to ask questions, regardless of the perceived or actual risk that might be involved. What the story in this passage offers us is a reminder of what makes Augsburg proclamation of the gospel unique in a world where church is no longer among the top of people's priorities. In a world where people are vying for greatness through lies, half-truths and deceit, and others who are looking past those who are vulnerable or on the margins of society, we've made a commitment to transparency so that together we can boldly profess our faith and share in God's work with our hands. I've been involved in a number of churches in a lot of different contexts over time. One of the beautiful ways that we are going about ministry right now is that your leadership, pastors, the staff, and your council have made it our goal to be transparent about the church and ministry matters. We take communication and your understanding of our communication seriously. As we are in the process of implementing our stewardship appeal for the upcoming year, we are making our very best effort to share with you how your gifts and financial support has made it possible for us to be the servants of which Jesus speaks. We are using what Pastor Paul learned from all of you through cottage gatherings and ministry team meetings to create hopes and dreams of doing more for the kingdom of God. Service is an essential part of our faith, and Jesus has just made it clear that it is not optional. Historically, congregations plan for the upcoming year by responding based on the pledges the congregation plans to give. This year, our stewardship ministry team asked all of our ministries to brainstorm about what they might need to better fulfill God's mission. We've taken time to list those ideas in the brochure and letters that you have received. And as you heard Pastor Paul mention, coming soon will be a question and answer sheet of questions that you have. And we know that most likely there are other questions, and we want to hear and respond to those, even if it means for us risking and acknowledging that we may not have the answer yet. God's word is made known to us in Scripture, and it is broad and deep and poignant. We are invited to spend our whole lives living out our baptismal covenant, learning it better, and we're called to share it with others. Martin Luther spent much of his life helping regular peasant people have access to God's word because Luther understood that transparency is biblical. God's word belongs to all of us. And transparency among all of us allows us to gain insight and information from each other. It helps us avoid surprises. It creates expectations that we will be and do what we believe God is calling us to be and do, and then be accountable for our actions. Transparency builds trust. This is in direct contrast to the way the disciples reacted. We see the disciples and maybe our own resistance to the transformation to which we are called. Jesus told his disciples things that they didn't want to hear. Jesus describes a lifestyle of service and of loving sacrifice. This is what they needed to hear, and what we need to hear also. Jesus gave his life for us. And we are to offer our lives, our priorities, and our gifts. As you have heard, this text is not a feel-good Hallmark passage. It was serious business back then, and it is serious business for us today. Jesus' radical message: he is the Messiah. And the more we become identified with Jesus Christ and sure of God's love, the more we will be able to trust the words of Jesus, even when we don't understand them or we don't want to hear them. The more we hear and trust, the more we will be able to love and serve others through our words, our actions, and our offerings. So the next time you're at the garage with the mechanic, in the doctor's office with your physician, or as a former math teacher told me after the 8:30 service, for the benefit of high schoolers, you are in the geometry class. When you are in Sunday school or a Bible study and any place, and you do not understand what you are hearing, ask. Because the more we understand about the importance of the care of our spirits, the care of our bodies, and the care of the things that we use in the world, the better able we are to live out a fuller call of discipleship. God, whose giving knows no ending, invites us. And it is in our receiving and in turn our sharing of what's been first given to us that we can know the fullness of God's abundant love. And maybe that's the cure for heartburn. For all this, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.